Podcasting on JerusalemCast.com. Meow.
Meow, indeed. Tov, Ted, Zion, Amud, Bet, Masechet Sanhedrin. We are in the wide lines, nine lines down from the top of the wide lines, end of the line, Ein Osin Irnidachat, the Sfar. We don't make an Irnidachat, the Sfar. We don't make an Rabbi Ruven. Good timing, we just started. We don't make an Ir Nidachat in a Sfar. We don't make a subverted town on a border, right? Subverted town is a town that the majority of the town has turned to idol worship. What do? Send in the heavy guns, the big boys, and we behead all those who were involved in the idol worship, and we total the rest of the town. We destroy and burn down all the property. We don't do that on the Sfar, on a border town. Why not? My Tama. What's the reason? So, the reason is because we learn it out of a pasuk. The pasuk says, Mikilbecha, from in your midst. Right? Those who have the pasukim, have a look, try and find the right one. V'yaduchu et yoshvei ram lemor neocha v'nevda elohim achayim asher yadatem. No, where's Bekir Becha? Oh no, it's before that. Yes, Yatsu anashim b'nei Beliel Bekir Becha. And these people will go out, b'nei Beliel, wayward people, Bekir Becha, from your midst. So the people who we're talking about, the ones who go off to serve idols, they go out mikilbecha, from your midst. Loosely speaking, that's a good English word. From your midst. So we learn here mikilbecha means from within, from the midst of the country and not from the border. V'lo min asfar, not from the border. Okay. And the Mishnah then continued and said, V'lo shalosh, we don't make... Mishnah exactly say the wording of the Mishnah. Daf bet amud bet amud aleph. Mishnah says, "Ein osin ir nidachat b'sfar v'lo shalosh, aval osin achat o shtayim." We don't make three, but we can make one or two. How do we know that? The Gemara wants to say. The Gemara wants to know why do we know that we don't make three, but one or two is fine. So we have an answer. Because it's written achat in that pasuk. Where's the next pasuk? Tov, ki tishma ba'achat yirecha. If you hear in one of your cities, asher Hashem elokecha noten lecha, that Hashem gives to you, lashevet sham lemor. Tov, to sit over there and say. But if you hear of this thing happening in one of your cities, so because the pasuk says in one of your cities, so we know. Initially, we're going to see, we know only one city. But we've already, the Mishnah told us, not three, but one or two. So how do you go two? Because we've got one. Where does the two come from? Aval osin echat oshtayim. How do we know one or two? Dichtiv irecha. From the word irecha, irecha is plural. So we've got echat irecha, one of your cities in the plural. So we know one or two. And therefore, not three. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brighter which explains that, what we just learned. Achat, the word achat means achat balosh shalosh, one and not three. Atal me achat balosh shalosh, you say one and not three. Or eno ala achat balosh shtayim, maybe it means one and not two. Kashu omer, but when the pasuk says irecha or arecha, harei shtayim amor, this tells you two. It's speaking about two. Hama ani makayem echad. So if it's speaking about two, what is it that makayem echad? How do I establish the word echad? Answer, echad v'lo shalosh. One and not three. Meaning, it's a bit of a roundabout way of saying it. Obviously, there's probably other deeper things going on here. But for our pshat, we know one or two towns we can designate as a Ir Nidachat, but not three. 3 is too many. We know that from the Pasukim. Gemara is now going to come and give us practical reasons now. We've now just learned those out of Pasukim, as if it's like it's a rule in the Pasuk, but now we're going to learn separately the Sfarah, the reasoning that at least one of the Tanaim, one of the Amoraim, is going to give for this. Zimnim Amar Rav. Sometimes Rav would say, Beit Din Echad, Hu De'ein Osin. It's in Beit Din Echad, it's in one Beit Din, Hu De'ein Osin, this that we do not do. Right? We're talking about making the Unidachat. Right? The Beit Din is the one who is making the Unidachat. And Rav comes along, and Rav says, sometimes Rav would say, we're talking about one Beit Din. It's one Beit Din that we don't do this, that we don't make three, i.e. can make only two. Ha v'shnayim v'shlosha batei Beit Din osin. But in two or three Beit Dins, osin, we do make. What's he saying? If you have one Beit Din can't make more than two Irim Nidachot. Right? Can't make two subverted towns, but more than one Beit Din can. Which Beit Din? Here we're only talking, though, which Beit Din is making the Irim Nidachot? The Sanhedrin. There's only one of them. There's only one great Sanhedrin of 71. So how can you have two or three great Sanhedrin? So here we're talking about later courts, meaning courts made up, Rashi says, courts made up of different people. You change the membership of the court. It's now a different Beit Din. So when the court of 71 was made up of the following 71 members, it can only make up to two designated towns. Later, if you change one of the guys, it's now a different Beit Din. And that court can go along and now make up to another two itself. Okay, does that make sense?
If you designate one,
yes,
and you completely behead everyone that's involved,
okay,
burn their property down, kill their cattle, kill their flocks,
yes,
you know, turn it into Hiroshima,
yes,
you know, word's going to get around, and maybe people actually do tshuva.
Oh, I see. So you're saying that they probably don't need to. Yeah, but we're looking just on the Pshat law about what they can do. Right? When they're writing, what they want. But in order to... You're with the law, what we're talking about. You understand the law in terms of two, not three, only per each Beit Din. What does it mean, each Beit Din? It means the Beit Din comprised of those members.
How was the Beit Din formed?
They were picked by who? Don't know. Self-selecting.
Couldn't serve two terms?
Yeah, you get as long as you want. As long as until they didn't kick you off. I mean, I don't know how you lost your position or who decided.
How would you have one with only 84%? How would you have a Beit Din Sanhedrin? Didn't matter. Everyone had to be different?
No. Just some. Hold on, let's see the rest. Yeah, I assume my understanding was that just some. If you change one member, then you've got a different Beit Din. Hold on, let's have a look. Beit Din Echad. If you look at the Rashi, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up on the bottom of the Rashi, Beit Din Echad, Kol Zman Shesanhedrei Zu Kaima, all the time that this Sanhedrin existed, Aval Meitu Elu, but if these died, V'nimnu Acherim, and they appointed others, Osim, and you can do. So, Meitu Elu. So Rashi's already in plural at least. He didn't say, he could have said Echad. He could have, Rashi could have said Meit Echad. Meitu Elu. All of them. Ah, could be, all of them. Well, Meitu Elu, Nachon. Osin Acharim, made the other ones. Could be, let's have a look at the footnote. Gives us.
No, not necessarily. Some died.
Okay, so in the art scroll goes with the fact that only some died. It doesn't go with all of them. Then they can make new you designated towns. Okay. So that was what Rav said. Rav sometimes, Zimnim, sometimes he would say that. It's an interesting way of quoting an Amara. Sometimes he would say this. But we see, continue, Vazimnim Amarav, and sometimes Rav would say something else. I have to know why he would do that. It's not because he... It's not like he changed his mind. There are times that we see in the Gemara that a Tana or an Amora is allowed to change their mind. Right? Usually they hear a proof from someone else, and after they heard from someone else, then they now decided to go with a different Shita. But that's very clear. Here he wasn't... Here he was apparently saying something. Times he would say like this, and sometimes he would say like... We'll get to see to the end and see why that might be.
We learned yesterday about court that the Sanhedrin kills some people say it's once in 70 years.
Yeah.
Then it's considered a
bloodthirsty baiting.
A bloodthirsty
baiting.
So if the Sanhedrin actually changes, like it probably did every year or uh-huh. two, because someone must die, it's considered a new Sanhedrin.
Uh-huh. But then the question is, based on what svara, what's his reasoning for saying that this is the case? Is it from scripture? Is it because it's not good for the Beit Din to... So let's see the end of the sugya and then try and figure out an answer. Okay. Zimnim amar Rav. Other times, Rav would say, Afilu b'shnaim u'shlosha Beit Dinin. Even in two or three Beit Dins, lo'olam ein osin. You will never make it. They're not allowed to do that. So then the Gemara says, "My Tama de Rav." What's the reasoning of Rav? Okay. So this question now, "My Tama de Rav," we've got two possibilities. Either we're asking the question, "What's his reasoning overall for having two different opinions?" Or are we saying, "What's the reasoning why he on the second case, right? The one we just learned. We just learned that other times Rav would say." You should never do it, even with two or more baked ins. And then the Gemara says, and what's the reasoning? Meaning, what's the reasoning for that ruling that you just given? So, my Tama de Rav, what's the reasoning of Rav? Answer, Mishum Karcha, because of Karcha. Maze Karcha, what's Karcha? Huh?
We were used with Amalek,
Karcha Baderech.
The Aritz Kol says
no,
dissolution.
So I think that's no, Karcha over there is with a chaf. Yeah, it's a chaf, meaning he cooled you, he calmed you down. Right here, Karcha says desolation, like a desert, make something desolate. Karcha.
Karcha.
So the answer here appears to be. That the reason why he says you don't make more than three is because we don't want to have parts of Eretz Yisrael desolate, wiped out. It's not a good thing. Amar Reish Lakish, let's just get to the end of this section. Amar Reish Lakish said like this. Lo shanu ela b'makom echad. They didn't teach this ruling except in one place. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that they didn't teach it in one place. It means when they taught it, they were talking about one area, meaning one makom echad. Rashi says kagon b'Galil or b'Yehuda. For example, the Galil or the Yehuda. Rashi actually says the law that says we don't make more than one or two towns. Means only in one area. In one area we don't make more than one or two. But in the whole country you can make altogether plenty. But just in each specific area of the country, don't make more than two. So for example in the Galil you can have a maximum of two, in Yehuda a maximum of two. You have one over here, one over there. That's Reish Lakish taught that. But in two or three places, you can make a number of irnidachot in more than two places. Rabbi Yochanan, who's Reish Lakish's sparring partner, disagrees. Amar, Ein Osim, we don't do that. Mishum Karcha. We don't do Mishum because of Karcha. Right? The reason of Karcha means that you wouldn't make even in different parts of the country. Tanya Kate de Rav Yochanan. We learned to Brighter that also followed the view of Rabbi Yochanan as follows. Ein Osim Shalosh Ayarot, Menudachot, Beis Yisrael. We do not designate three subverted towns in Eretz Yisrael. Avalosin Otam Shtayim, but we can make two. Kugod, for example, Achad B'Yehuda V'Achad B'Galil. One in Yehuda and one in Galil. So here he's clearly saying that even though they are in different areas, there's only up to maximum of two, even if they are in different areas. One in the Galil and one in Yehuda. Aval Shtayim B'Yehuda or Shtayim B'Galil Ein Osin, but two in Yehuda or two in Galil we don't do. Right, you're not allowed to make two in the same place. Even the law of a maximum of two means two not even in the same place. Usmucha l'sfar, and next to the border, afilo achat ein osin. Next to the border, even one we wouldn't make. My tama, what's the reason? Shema yishmeu necharim, lest the Gentiles come to hear, the Nacharim. V'yicharivu et Yisrael, chas v'shalom. And they come to destroy Eretz Yisrael. Right? So, there we're now getting in the brighter, more of a practical reason. Right? Let's just finish.
Well, the Arab Rav should have read this before destroying Gush Katif.
Yofi. But Tehuk Lei.
So, we only have a right to Israel.
Which is happening now.
So we see from here that the brighter doesn't bring the reasoning that we learned before from the Pasukim. The brighter seems to bring reasoning from Svara, from logic, from practicality. The reason why we don't make more than two and don't make more on the border is practical reasons. We don't want the Goyim to come and destroy us. It has nothing to do with the Pasukim. So the Gemara... Identity doesn't say anything at this point. He's got some. He's got one word. Duresh Lakish. But...
Which is
Mahakabel. He received it. Reish Lakish said, Rashi answers, I think Rashi answers a question which he didn't ask, he just answers with one word. He says, Mahakabel. I think Rashi answered the question about why, how come Reish Lakish said this? Reish Lakish started his statement by saying, we don't, when they taught this law, they only taught it about one area. But in two areas, you're fine. Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with him. So Rashi answered, how does he know that? So Rashi answered, Reish Lakish, how did Reish Lakish know to say that when they taught this law, they only taught it about one area of the country? Right, normally you need to have a source for statement. You can't just come, you know what? I think when they taught this law, they were talking about olives. Who knows? How do you know? Why are you saying that? Right, so Rashi answered Merkabel. He received it. He received it from a tradition. Rabbi Shimon. Yofi. Top. Okay, so then it means something completely different, not how I understood it. Okay, so let's see. Let's come up. So then there's no Rashi on this at the moment. So the Gemara now points out the fact that we've had two different explanations. Right, one is them comes from Pasukim, and one comes from Svara. Normally, we like to go with Pasukim. Mm-hmm. If you have rules, laws of the Torah, they have to be based on Pasukim. They're not really, especially if they're Deraita rules. You can't have a Deraita rule that's based on Svara. Have a rabbinic rule, maybe. So why now bring in a brighter that's Sfarah and doesn't mention the Pasukim? So the Gemara says, the Tefuk lay, let it be learned out, let it emerge from the Mikirbecha, from the Pasuk that says, Kirbecha, from your midst, Amar Rahmana, that Hashem said in the Torah, from your midst. What, is that not good enough for you? Belong min Asfar, that's how you learn out, not on the border. Why are you learning out so that the goyim don't come in? Learn out from the pasuk. Answer, Rabbi Shimon. Who gave this brighter, the Darish Tama Dikra, who expounds the reasoning for the verses. So what's he saying? He's saying Rabbi Shimon for sure learned it out from that pasuk, but the reason why he's giving you the logic and not bringing to you the pasuk is because he's already one level away. You're right, it came from the Pasuk, but I'm explaining out the Sfarah of the Pasuk. Rabbi Shimon is known as a Tana who gives reasoning for Torah laws. And therefore, he gave the reasoning as opposed to giving just the Pasuk and saying, you learn out from here, you just do it because it said it in the Pasuk. There's a reasoning behind it. There's a kind of a logical reasoning. So there's a machloket, generally speaking, whether the Torah laws have reasoning that are relevant for us to learn from. Meaning, do we learn that the Torah law is based on our logical understanding, that we can reason out sensible, logical reasons for all the Torah laws? Or do we rely on the fact that Hashem said, no, do. Right? Was it mean Hashem said do? So there's two ways of looking at that. Hashem said do because I said, and that's all you need to know. Right? I'm your father. Like I said. Right? Or does it mean Hashem said do, and there's a very good reason. Some of the reasons you might understand, but the others you're not going to. It doesn't matter how much I explain to you the laws of Shatness and why you can't have wool and linen in the same. You're not going to get it. You haven't got the ability to grasp it. So trust me, it's all for a logical reason. Hashem doesn't do anything to Sam just because I'm just testing you to see if you're going to do it. But there's no reason behind it. No, so for sure there's a good reason.
There may be a reason, but we don't understand.
Exactly, so there's a reason that we don't understand. And therefore we don't bother trying to work out the reasons. Because if you start down that path, then it's a very, very dangerous road. Because the ones that you understand, so you'll do. And the ones that you don't understand, no, I don't understand that one, doesn't make sense to me, I'm not going to do that one. Right? And that's a dangerous road, so there are views that we don't bother going down the road of trying to understand, because it's not going to take you to a good place.
Well, the example of the danger is, for example, kashrus. They say don't eat pig because trichinosis, now we have refrigeration.
Right, and also the reason, hey Bobby, the reasons can change too. So, let's get you a Gemara. We got a Gemara for my friend Bobby. It was good? It was okay? Are they okay? Everyone still standing there? Still breathing?
In a ricket.
So, how are we doing for that? So, you're right. So the reasoning that a person might give for mitzvahs might change. And now we know better. We don't need to do that. Right, which is the way I learned. That's the way I learned Torah. Went to a Jewish school, apparently a Jewish school. Half an hour Jewish studies every week. So I knew everything by the time I left. And I realized that modern science obviates the need for the opium of the masses. Right? I have a fridge, I have a freezer. It was very good in those days. You don't need it now. It was just to keep order. You offer me, I had all the reasons. We go on reasoning. Right, trigonosis, Rabbi Yaakov says.
I mean, that's classic reform, occult of those who are.
But
there are other reasons, I mean, which we don't understand, such as Gabal and Zohar and everything else like that, and spiritual reasons, which you weren't in here. I mean, science is put into it.
And we also know that the Torah is built on four levels, right? Parades, Pshat, Drosh, Remez, and Sod. And each one...
Let's translate that for a podcast.
Pshat is a simple meaning. Drash is the what are the English words for these? Drash means the to expound it, to explain it in a deeper way. Remez means that there's a hint to something deeper, but you're only learning out from a hint. And sod means sod literally means secret. It refers to the Kabbalah, the Kabbalistic reasons, which are not obvious at all from the face of the... there's not even a hint on the face of it. But underneath, if you understood really, there are deeper reasons. So at each level, there's a deeper reason. So even though you might hit level one or level two, and you can say, well, that doesn't apply to me, right? For example, a great example is my machronim is that we, after eating, we wash our fingertips, right, after a person eats bread. They should wash their fingertips before benching Birkat HaMazon, right? Why do we do that? So it depends. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, it gives a couple of explanations there. One of the explanations is that they were worried about malach sodomite salt, a type of salt that's very dangerous, that's found in the food, and people who used to eat with their fingers. And now, if you rub your eye after you've had a good meal, you have a stretch, you rub your eye, you're going to get it in your eye, it's going to cause you problems. Therefore, they would be not accustomed to wash their hands afterwards. Yoffi. So nowadays, you can reason, fine, nowadays, we don't have sodomite salt around. So you can say, we don't have to worry about that. Nowadays, we eat the knife and fork. I don't touch the food at all. Don't have to do that. So then I've dealt with one level, but I've missed out completely all the remez and the sod level. Kabbalistically, my nachronim is doing huge things. Right? It's the taking away the tumah from the fingertips and feeding it to the Yetzirah, and you give there's a whole Kabbalistic explanation of what's going on there. You missed out on all of that. Why? Because I've dealt with the reasoning, and I had my reasoning, and I told them, don't need that. So a person should always be wary to go on reasoning, which is why over here the Gemara is keen to point out that although Rabbi Shimon gives reasoning for why we don't have we don't designate an Irnei Dachat on a border town, he also learned it out from scripture. But he was like to give reasoning. Reasoning helps. It helps us understand what's going on, why we're doing it, but it's not something we should rely on, because if we rely on that, we can really get into trouble. You want to say something?
Yeah. When I was in America now, my brother was getting very upset. He was being very abusive of his older brother by saying that he had a guest once, and he told the guest, this is what a Jew looks like.
To you.
Yeah. He told them, yes, but this is what it comes up with me, that he's a payo, and this is a beard, and these are fringes, and he starts explaining it, and I said, let me explain. So I tried to give a little explanation, because the person who was his guest was not Jewish, so why go into it too deeply? But I explained it in a nice way by saying that this is what a Jew is supposed to look like, so he won't look like the Goyim.
Right.
That. And then the next day I went into the explanation on Shabbat of Mayim Achronim. I went up to Mayim Achronim and I went into the explanation about the demons who were trying to get at you and everything. And just to say that this is what it's all really about. We don't even understand, you know.
All right. We have no clue. We have no clue. Why are you wearing tzitzit with four fringes dangling down? Mm-hmm. I have no clue. What does that do for me? Why does it make a difference? I have no idea. What does it mean? Right? So you can have explanations. So you see the sitzit, so you see the techelet, it reminds you of Shemayim, which reminds you of Kisei HaKavod, which reminds you of a Jew. There's so many deeper things going on with all of the mitzvot. All of the mitzvot are, right, we have 365 positive mitzvot and 270 negative, whatever, 613 break down into three, whatever they are, not exactly, but roughly give or take 365 positive and however many that's left, 248 negative, and they correspond, the 248 negative correspond to all the bones, the limbs, the body, right? So each mitzvah is fixing in some way a limb, in some that we just have no clue about. So everything is working on a deeper level. we have to also find reasoning that helps us get up in the morning and helps us, gives us excitement to do the mitzvah. So we're also good to find reasoning that this is why I'm doing it.
I have a story about that.
Yeah.
When you get up in the morning,
yeah,
and you say, Monday, and
yeah,
they actually did a research study on that with senior citizens getting out of bed in the hospital. They say it takes 10 seconds to do that. It stabilizes the blood. And when the Jewish doctor gave his speech about that, everyone gave him a literally standing ovation. It was so important. Because you're saving people's lives, literally.
So one of the reasons why you stay more down in the morning is so that you can stabilize the blood before you get out of bed and you don't faint, which is great, but it's not the only reason, right?
No, but it's one reason.
It's a nice reason. These are all good things which help give us chizuk. And we have to work on two planes. We have to work on the fact that there's reasoning which gives me chizuk, and there's a lot of stuff which I don't know.
Now, one question I have is, when you mention the reasons for the beard and the sisters, what about the way women should dress?
Ooh.
Modesty is extremely important.
It is, but that's getting very dangerously contentious, so I think we'll move on. Tom. Okay, so let's move on. Two lines from the bottom of the daf. Sanhedrin Gedola Haita. The Sanhedrin Gadol was. So that's a quote from the Mishnah on Daf Bet Amud Aleph. Let's see what it is that the Mishnah is trying to teach us over there. So Sanhedrin Gadol Haita, we're about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom of the page on Daf Bet Amud Aleph. First page, if you want to read it inside there. Sanhedrin Gadol Haita, Shel Shivim Be'echad. The great Sanhedrin, the big Sanhedrin, was made up of 71. Ukutana shel eschrim v'shlosha. And the smaller Sanhedrin, there's two types of Sanhedrin, there's a big one, there's only one of them, 71. The smaller ones, which we had pretty much one in each town, of 23. Sanhedrin gedola, minayin gedola shahaya shehi shel shivim v'echad. How do we know that the big one was made up of 71? So we have two opinions now in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to look at these two opinions. So the first opinion is, how do we know it's from 71? Shneimar, because it says in the Torah, Asfali Shivim Ish, gather for me 70 people, Mizignei Yisrael. Right, Moshe said to Am Yisrael, gather me 70 people. Right, after Yitro came and told him that it's a good idea to have a bit of help here. So gather together leaders who will be leaders over and can answer the questions in place of you. So he said, gather together 70 men. U'moshe agabehem, and Moshe was above them. So gather together 70 plus me, 71. So that was the Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yehuda omer shivim. Rabbi Yehuda says no, 70. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say only 70? Because he doesn't count Moshe. He says, Moshe made the Sanhedrin, and then let him go on with it. You're the Sanhedrin. Sort it out. And the first, the Tanakhama says, no. Moshe appointed 70 additional elders, and he was in charge of them, all of them, so we have 71. So now the Gemara is going to look at those two opinions. My Tama Durabanan. The Amrei Moshe al Gabehen. So what is the reasoning for Rabbanan, for the first view, Rabbanan, that said that Moshe was above them, right? Why would you assume that? If we want to say that the Sanhedrin was created by Moshe, and all we know is Moshe says, gather together 70 people, why do I assume that Moshe would have been involved, would have been with them? Maybe the other view is more logical, right? Normally the Gemara comes to attack the, first of all, the less logical view, right? It doesn't go against Rabbi Yehuda and say, Rabbi Yehuda, why haven't you included Moshe in your count?
The logical view is 71.
Why?
We don't have to have a number. Up to now, everything would be.
Nachon, up to now. But apparently the Gemara goes against that because it could have challenged that view. Why at first it said, Rabbi Yehuda, you're the one who's the problem here, you have to explain yourself, but it didn't. It went to the first opinion which said Moshe was above them and said, what's the reasoning for that? As if to say that the default position wouldn't have been that way. I wouldn't have originally thought that, therefore that's the one I have to challenge. So, why? What's the reason for Rabbanan? Amakra, it's learned from a pasuk. The hit yatzvu sham. Imach. The hit yatzvu sham imach. And you will. Hit yatzev loosely translates to stand.
They stood.
Yeah, when yatzev is to be like a. Strong like a pillar.
Stood with you.
Imcha va'at v'daihu. With you means together with them. Right? So, like Rabbi Abraham explains here, the pasuk says, and they, meaning the judges, the 70 people he just appointed, will stand imcha with you. They'll stand with you. So it makes sense. If they're going to stand with you, 70 plus you, 71. Nice and easy. Rabbi Yehuda. What about Rabbi Yehuda? Imach, he learns differently. He says, you're right, it says to stand there with you, but I have a different understanding of what it means with you. Imach, mishum shechina. With you, they're going to stand with you, mishum shechina, on account of the shechina. Not very easy. Not very clear? No. Yes, you have an answer at this point for what that means?
So they be in his presence, maybe. Not that he should be counted with them, but he should have this influence, the Shekhinah, even God has when he hovers above.
So who's Imcha is with you, Moshe, that the 70 will be with you.
With you, but not you included with them as part of the Sanhedrin, but you
right.
should be
influence. I see.
Hashkophically.
It should be with you. With you as opposed to not against you. And it should be with you. Either Rav. Yeah, fair. Okay, so let's see. Rashi has two different explanations of what it means, imcha, of how to understand this. I wasn't really taken by either of them, meaning that I didn't really understand either of them. But the first Rashi on the page. Imcha mishum shechina, with you on account of the shechina. So imcha ya'amdu michutz la'ohel, with you they will stand outside the ohel moed, outside the tent. V'lo yavo'u la'ohel, and they won't come into the ohel mishum shechina, because of the shechina. So that's what the first explanation means. So what's that mean? The first explanation says that Hashem tells Moshe that they will stand with you means outside the Ohel. I would have said the other way. Moshe is in the Ohel. So why does it now mean outside the Ohel? If Hashem says to Moshe, they're going to stand with you. Moshe was normally found inside the Ohel. So how do I know now that what he means is that you're going to stand outside the Ohel. They're going to stand outside the Ohel because the Shekhinah is inside the Ohel and they can't go in there. So you're right, I understand the Shekhinah is inside the Ohel and they can't go in there because they're not at the same level as you. But then I would have said the opposite learning. The fact that they're instructed to be Imcha with you maybe teaches me to go against that assumption and let them go inside with you. So that's why I got puzzled with that explanation.
That's what Shah. Shah means outside the Ohel, not when you went in. Why out? I'm going to explain why the reason, I guess, that I kind of.
Okay, so nice. Yeah, fair. I like that. If and it would work better for me if the Gemara had said Sham. Sham, Mishum Sham. Say Imcha. Doesn't say Sham.
The Pasuk says,
Nachon. But that's what the Pasuk says. But the Gemara picks out the word Imcha. What does imcha mean? Imcha means they're going to be outside. If the Gemara said, what does sham mean? Sham means they're going to be outside. So fine. And I have a nice clear drush. But here... So let's just look at the second explanation. Rashi, second line of the Rashi. Lashon Acher. Alternatively, Mishum Shechina Shetishra Mishum Shechina. On account of the Shechina, Shetishra Shechina Aleihem. That the Shechina rested on them. Chutzruchu Liot Moshe Imahem. Moshe needed to be with them. Be dictative, and he brings the passage to show why Moshe needed to be with him. So because the Shekhinah is going to rest with you, Moshe needs to be with you. Because the Shekhinah is only going to dwell in a place where Moshe is. And because of that, then that's why the pasuk says that they will stand with you. Meaning they will stand with you because the Shekhinah is going to rest on you with them. That's why you're needed to be there. And it doesn't come to teach you that you're one of the 71. So that one makes a little bit more sense for me. Tov, Adkan. Huh?